This gospel begins that Sermon on the Plain that is listed in the Gospel of Luke. And when you read it, you discover it's very much like the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, but just a little different. Now, why is that? Well, sometimes people wonder, which is the right sermon? Which is the real sermon Jesus preached? Well, the reality is Jesus was a traveling preacher. He went from village to village to village, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And of course, in a day before YouTube and podcasts, he preached pretty much the same sermon wherever he went. He's preaching this message to the people. But of course, as in everybody who travels and preaches, there's always a little bit of difference. I mean, on Sundays that I do three or four homilies, each one's just a little bit different. So there's really no right sermon or wrong sermon. It's the same messages. But there are a couple of differences that are worthy of note. Now, in Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, there are eight Beatitudes, and they are all blesseds. And Matthew places the sermon on a mountain to portray Jesus as the new Moses who gave the law from Mount Sinai. Now, in Luke, he places the sermon on a plain. Now, why does he do that? Well, he's writing to a Greek audience. And so he somewhat portrays Jesus as the new Plato, as the new philosopher, as bringing the new philosophy of God to the people. Plato, who taught in the Grove of Academus on the Athenian plain. And now Jesus is on the plain, teaching the new wisdom to the people. In fact, to this day, in a Greek Orthodox church, when they introduce the gospel, rather than saying the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, like we do, they chant, "Wisdom aright, pay be attentive to the gospel, wisdom aright," because they have this tradition that the gospel is the wisdom of God, not the new law, but the new wisdom of God. And he also lists eight Beatitudes, just like Matthew, but you notice they're different. Instead of eight blesseds, Luke has four blesseds and four woes. So in Luke, we hear, "Blessed are the poor, but woe to the rich. Blessed are those who are hungry, but woe to those who are full. Blessed are those blessed are you when people insult you, but woe to you when people speak well of you." Now, what is Jesus doing here? We almost want to get upset with Jesus, right? We think, Jesus, everything I work for in life, you're just telling me is a bad thing, so I just think I'm going to ignore that part of the gospel. But that's not what he's doing. In fact, the answer to that question, what is Jesus doing here, is in the psalm today, in Psalm 1. In Psalm 1, we hear the psalmist say, "Blessed are the righteous. They are like a tree that is planted by living water. Its leaves never wither. It bears fruit in due season. Everything he does will prosper." Jesus is saying, blessed are you when you live for righteousness. When your focus is on righteousness, then you will prosper. But in Psalm 1, it says, the wicked are not like the blessed. In fact, they are like the chaff. They are like a weed. You know, when you're like a tree, you grow slow, but you grow strong. When you're like a weed, you grow fast. But then the psalmist says, the wind drives it away. And what Jesus is teaching us, and he teaches us several times, he goes over this theme many times in his teachings, that when you seek the kingdom of God, you will be blessed. In fact, you will prosper in this age. Jesus says, all these things will be added unto you. Jesus says to the apostle Peter, no one who gives up houses or properties or lands or goods for the kingdom and for the gospel will not receive 100-fold in this age, along with the persecutions. So Jesus is saying that when you seek his kingdom, You will be strong. You will grow slowly, but you will grow in strength, and you will be prospered, and nothing can take that away. But if you seek this world, if you seek the successes and the acclaims and the praises of this world, well, you might earn a, you might do well in the beginning. You might have this rush of prosperity in the beginning, but in the end, it will all be nothing. It will all blow away. It's not that Jesus doesn't want you to have sufficient goods, maybe even wealth, have to be full, to have plenty to eat, to be taken care of in this world. He wants that. But he doesn't want that to be your focus, because he knows unless the kingdom of God is your focus, then ultimately it will end in destruction. I've seen this so many times in so many lives, even in my own life, in times when I have just sought to do what God wants me to do. It's like being in the flow. Someone wrote a book about that, right? Being in the flow. That suddenly everything is falling into place for me. That things are going well. That I am happy and I am at peace and the family is doing well. And even my bank account is doing well because I am in the flow of what God created me to do. When you have found what God creates you to be and you are that, then everything falls into place. There's so much energy. There's so much drive. Jesus works all day and night and never has anything to eat. And he says, and the apostle says, stop and eat something. And he said, my food is to do the will of my Father. That just doing God's will fills me with energy and sustenance that is impossible to see. If we focus on the kingdom of God, we will be blessed. Yet if we focus on the kingdom of this world and try to grab what we can, then the end is destruction. In fact, years ago, some of you may remember it, there was a bumper sticker that was very popular. It said, he who dies with the most toys wins. And then someone said, he who dies with the most toys is standing before God answering some tough questions. I want to tell you a story about a baseball player, Brooks Robinson. Anybody heard of Brooks Robinson? All right, some baseball fans here. Big guy in the 60s, right? Brooks Robinson here. I had to write down some of the statistics. He is the best defensive third baseman of all time. Played for the Baltimore Orioles for 23 years, the only team he ever played for. In 1964, he was awarded the American League Most Valuable Player with 118 RBIs. Led the entire league that year. In 1966, he won the All-Star Game MVP, even though his team lost. He was voted the most valuable player for the All-Star Game in 1966. In 1970, he was named the World Series Most Valuable Player, where he batted a .429. Now, if you don't follow baseball, that's a pretty amazing average. Batted .429 with two home runs and six RBIs. He was... Girls, that's a run batted in, okay? Now, he was, after that World Series game, he was interviewed by Barbara Walters, and you can see that on the Today Show, and you can see that he's had all these wonderful accolades, and she looks at him and she asks this question. She says, what is it like to be the greatest baseball player in the world? And he looks at her and he says, Barbara, I learned a long time ago to make God my only audience. That is our call, to make God our only audience. And counterintuitively, when we live our entire lives to please God, to serve God, to love God in all that we do, then the things in this world that are important, God gives to us. But if we seek the things of this world, then they will all blow away like the chaff. So seek the kingdom of God and make God your only audience.